chapter 47. Sister May and Cornflower had tried to feed Strike with Abbey fare, but the red kite was no vegetarian. So they finally compromised by giving the great hunting bird a net of water shrimp. Strike had taken to the corner of the wine cellar, and she settled down to sleep on a pile of moss and sacking.
"Stay out of Mr. Spike's wine cellar, little one,"
Sister May warned baby Rollo.
"Never go down there alone. We can't take chances with a bird like that one."
"Hope he doesn't get a taste for October ale or elderberry wine. Great hulking thing like that in empty my cellar,"
Ambrose Spike grumbled into an apple and blackberry pie wedge. The abbot looked over the top of his spectacles.
"No quicker than the average cellar keeper could empty a larder. You're right, Sister May. Strike is a fine big bird, but she is not used to our ways. Pity about her wing. She's very proud. Did you see the way she got huffy when I remarked that it was broken? I'd like to take a look at it sometime."
Cornflower stopped Rollo roaming in the direction of the wine cellar and sat the mischievous infant on her lap.
"Poor thing,"
Sister May said sympathetically.
"Apparently, she built her nest on a piece of branch sticking out from the mountain. Then one night, the branch rotted and the nest fell. She struck her wing awkwardly on a jagged rock and broke it. Strike said that she lay in the ruined nest for many days, unable to move. She had no mate to defend her, and she was attacked by other birds. Finally, she forced herself to fly. Bit by bit, she made her way across the western plain, looking for somewhere to shelter. And that was when she saw our abbey."
Constance came in, mopping her brow.
"Still hot out there. Where's the big bird? Asleep. What a size. I'll bet you could almost lift me. Do you think she'll ever fly again, Abbot?"
"Oh, I don't know, Constance. Maybe if we could look at her wing, we'd be able to tell. However, big red kites aren't our present worry. It's ravens, crows and rooks I'm concerned with. Cornflower, you must stop this masquerade as Martin the Warrior. I know it annoys Ironbeak, but it isn't getting us anywhere. And there's another reason also. That raven is no fool, and sooner or later he'll be a bit quicker than us, and he'll catch you. There's too much risk involved. You'll have to give it up."
Cornflower became indignant.
"But, Father Rabbit, when I get dressed up as the ghost, I know it upsets Ironbeak, and that's why I must continue. It has also started to demoralise his rooks. They're scared, and the crow, what's his name, Mangus, he's frightened of me too. I can tell. That crow is a very superstitious bird, and the others take notice of him. Let me do it just one more time tonight, please."
Mordalfus polished his glasses.
"Cornflower, you're a bigger mischief-maker than your son, and a fighter as brave as your husband. Make tonight the last time that you haunt our abbey."
Baby Rollo had dozed off, and Cornflower placed the sleeping infant in the abbot's lap.
"I will. Thank you, Father Abbot. Sister May, come on. We have work to do if the ghost is to walk again tonight. Come on, Constance. We need you for the voice of Martin."
The abbot stroked Rollo's head.
"And I'm left holding the baby, as usual."
Ironbeak sat at the broken dormitory window and related his troubles to Mangus.
"Warrior mouse ghosts, big red birds, what next, my seer? The earth crawlers are down in that cavern place where we cannot get at them. I've conquered nearly all this great redstone house from the roof down, and I cannot let it slip away from me. If I were forced to leave here, we would have to go back to the Northlands. They are cold and hard, Mangus, and it is all fight and no food. We're getting older and could not face many more winters in the north.